KLJB 90.1 The Eagle. Good day. Welcome to Environmental Voices. I'm your host, Marie Rock, and joining me in the studio today is Bobby Henderson. Hi, Bobby. How are you doing today?
Hi, Marie. Good to see you again.
Yes, definitely. What's your title over there at DRM?
I'm the Botanist and Invasive Species Coordinator for Leech Lake DRM.
Wow. What are we going to talk about today?
Today I'd like to kind of talk about moonworts.
Okay.
Moonworts are tiny, obscure little ferns. Most people wouldn't recognize them as a fern, but they are in the fern family, and they're actually quite interesting little plants. Many of the species that we have around here, they're commonly referred to as moonworts, but each one has a specific name, like upswept moonwort or goblin fern is a popular one, pale moonwort and such. We have approximately 13 species of moonworts on the reservation,
okay,
of which most of these species are considered rare to some extent, some exceptionally rare, mm-hmm, especially for Minnesota. One species in particular, Botrichium crenulatum, it was found here on the reservation, I believe it was 2010, and it's the only population of Botrichium crenulatum east of the Rocky Mountains.
Wow.
And it's here. So there are approximately 11 species considered rare here.
Okay.
And for the reservation, there are a few more in the state, but one of the things I do at DRM is I do rare plant surveys, and there are a number of these moonworts that I survey for.
So we have 13 species here on, is it on the reservation?
Yes.
Okay. Are they throughout the state?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. A good example is a goblin fern, Botrichium mormo. A goblin fern is an endemic to the Great Lakes region of North America. And we are probably the hot spot in all of North America for this particular species, goblin fern. Michigan, Wisconsin, it's considered endangered, I believe, in both of those states. In Minnesota, it's threatened. And the reason for so, goblin fern requires these maple, basswood, upland hardwood forests like we have around Leech Lake Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the scourge of goblin fern has been the introduction of non-native earthworms, like the night crawlers and such.
Mm-hmm.
This part of Minnesota had no earthworms after the last glacier, and goblin fern evolved in these habitats that didn't have earthworms. And contrary to popular belief or what we've been taught, you know, earthworms are good for the soil. Yes, they are, but they're horrible for our forests.
Really?
Yes.
What do they do to the forest?
They remove the organic layer in hardwood forests.
Wow.
Goblin fern requires what is called a duff layer.
Okay.
Which it's many years of leaf litter accumulation.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get this thick layer of leaf litter in various stages of decomposition.
Okay.
It's nutrient rich. Goblin fern requires that. Well, earthworms remove that down to bare mineral soil, and goblin fern cannot survive in those conditions. Which brings up another interesting point. I'm actually starting a project this summer. It's a 3-year project specifically for goblin fern. What I'm doing is looking at old historic records from 2012 back 20 years ago, and I want to go revisit these old locations to resurvey for goblin fern, see if it's still there, mm-hmm, yes or no. If it is there, I want to monitor it for 3 years and then monitor earthworm activity in the area.
Okay.
If it's not there, monitor anyway to see if there are any what would be considered remnant populations. And the whole purpose of the project is to gather data to show the ill effects of earthworms on this particular species, because unfortunately the species is starting to become extirpated throughout much of its range, and it's due to habitat destruction.
Okay.
So it'll be a fun project.
Sounds like it. So how big of a fern are we talking about here?
Moonworts in general are small.
Okay.
And I know our listeners cannot see these photos, but I did bring some photos to give you an idea of how big goblin fern can be. I've never seen it more than 3 inches tall, but I have found it as much as a half to a quarter inch tall.
Wow. Okay. So when do those start coming out?
Actually, moonworts, there are a number of moonworts that are upright now, and Botrichium, or well, least moonwort has emerged, pale moonwort, Mengen moonwort. Goblin fern starts to emerge typically around the end of June, and within the next couple of weeks, a few other fairly rare species on the forest, like the Botrichium crenulatum, that should have emerged by now, and Botrichium lunaria, which it's funny, Botrichium lunaria, common name is common moonwort.
Okay.
It's just not common to Minnesota.
Okay.
In fact, I've only seen it twice. I found a new population on the reservation last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only population on the reservation.
Wow. Are these considered perennials or annuals or?
Perennials.
You know, those are the ones that come back every year, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of strange. I always thought annuals were the ones, but.
Annuals have to reseed themselves every year.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's a one-year plant. Okay. To where the perennials, they continue to reproduce from the rootstock every year.
Are there certain animals or insects that eat these things?
Since they're relatively succulent little plants, I suspect there are a number of critters that probably eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen evidence of insect eating them, which it's no big deal. I mean, it's not going to, you know, herbivory, as it's called, is not going to extirpate a population. It's habitat destruction and loss that extirpates these populations.
So it's pretty much popular right now, or populous around here, but because of what's going on with the worms, we're having issues.
Yeah, some of the species are far more tolerant.
Okay.
It's just that goblin fern is very intolerant because it has such specific habitat requirements. And when the habitat is gone, goblin fern disappears as well. Okay. I mean, we have a number that grow in grassy openings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're not affected so much by earthworms.
Okay. So do they have leaves on them? Or?
Well, they have what is called a trophophore, which is the equivalent of the frond on a regular fern, or it could be considered the leaf.
Okay.
And then they have what is considered the sporophore, which they're not flowering plants. They release spores. And they're really bizarre, unique-looking little tiny ferns. So
if I wanted to go and check one of these out, where would I go for that? Where would you suggest looking?
Give me a call. I can take you and show you.
Awesome. All right.
I'm kind of the resident expert on moonworts around here, but no, there's a number of populations. And, you know, if people are interested in seeing some of these things, I gladly take people out to show what we do have here.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's quite unique and rare.
I still have yet to see a lady slipper.
Well, I'm actually going to look at some tonight. Another rare species, ram's head orchid,
okay,
which is a small, very cryptic lady slipper. But okay, it's quite pretty.
Awesome. All right. If we have any questions, how do we get a hold of you?
Easiest way to contact me is DRM at my office, and it's 335-7442.
All right.
Or stop in, and if I'm available or if I'm not in the field, I'd be happy to chat with someone.
All right. And you guys are just south of Castle Lake. They're just past
yep.
the tracks, right?
Correct.
Okay. Big building. You can't miss it.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in today and sharing information with us. That's going to wrap up another edition of Environmental Voices for KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. I'm Marie Rock.